Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, I would like to bid you a Happy New Year. Rand remembered when we started the show to wish everybody out there a Happy New Year. You know, I guess I've gotten so old and so battle-hardened and so battle-scarred. I hate to say it. I even hate more to feel that way. It's come to the point where Christmas, not so much Christmas, but New Year, I mean, the holidays, they're just like another day in the war. One of my press said I didn't have any New Year's resolutions, but I kind of wish I could get softened up a little bit and not be some so calloused and so battle-hearted and so hateful. It's very hard not to hate. I mean, I'll be 75 years old in April, and I just see so much brutality, like we've been talking tonight, that gets swept under the rug. The Jew media, the United States government, they keep all this crap swept under the rug. But I know I see it every day. What we've been talking about tonight with the Knoxville massacre, so to speak, it happens, people, every day in South Africa. It's every day, every day. It happens just probably every day here in the United States. I'll make this quick, but my wife's uncle was a captain in the Memphis Police Department years and years ago after World War II, and he used to warn my wife and her sisters to beware, because 90%, he said, 90% of the violent crime in Memphis went unreported. And you know why. And you know, like we keep saying, who runs the media? It's the same Jew media. It can't be. I'll say it. If you don't name the Jew, you are an operative. If you don't name the Jew, you're controlled opposition. It's just like the Bible said. It's like Jesus Christ said. It may sound hard, but that's the damn truth. Unless the Jew, the very rare Jew that will come over and give his soul to Christ, give his life to Christ, he's good to go, just like one of us. But that's the rare exception. Most of these people are your enemy. They hate your guts, and they use these black animals we've just been talking about. They use them like a drug dealer uses Doberman Pinschers and pit bulldogs. He uses them to sick on people trying to come into and raid his drug, where he's growing his pot or whatever it is. They use these animals, blacks, against us. They hate our guts. And with that, people, just in case you're just tuning in, we have been talking about Christopher Newsom, age 23, Channing Gayle Christian, age 21, who were brutally raped over a period of hours, even days, in Knoxville, Tennessee, by four just humanoid blacks and one humanoid female black. And the torture was just beyond anything that you can imagine. And we talk about solutions. You need to call your local news media, your local newspapers, even though they probably won't print it, call them every damn day and ask them, why don't you carry something like this? Instead of caring about this crap about these criminals like George Floyd and all these career criminal animals, why don't you cover something like this? Now, Rand, I'm sorry if I carried too much took too much time. Go ahead and we'll finish up this story in this hour. Then we'll talk about the Wichita massacre, and then we can talk about the Trump, how he's double crossed us on the jab, on the vax. We also need to talk about, if we get time, the Ghislaine Maxwell conviction and the Cooper Young Black Lives Matter signs that have been defaced. Sure wouldn't me, folks. But anyway, go ahead, Rand, finish up what we were doing, fella.
Well, on that note about you talking about you could be better, Eddie, I tell you, brother, the things that we hate, I think, pleases our Father.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
These things are abomination to him. He hated Esau, so I wouldn't beat myself up too bad about that. You hating the right things, my brother.
I agree.
We need to get back.
Yeah, I agree. We've been somehow taught that we're not allowed to feel that emotion of hatred, but there's something wrong with us if we don't feel hatred when we hear a story like what you've been relating. And when we see and hear about all these terrible injustices, that should be arousing those kinds of emotions in us. And it's okay to hate if it's directed properly against the evil. Anyway, I just had to throw that in. Go back to you.
I'm glad. I got to chip in one more. You might call it a rabbit trail. I have this family tree book. It's about the size, really, of a phone book. My family trees gets mixed up because my dad had 9 brothers and 14 sisters. Spaced over, there were 3 wives. The first 2 died. The third one outlived my grandfather. But we have Victor Jones. He's a very highly educated relative of mine from Bloody Breathitt County, Tennessee. Superintendent of the Breathitt County Schools. Owns businesses. A brilliant man. A really brilliant. One of the few Millers that were that brilliant. But he researched and gave me this book, The Family Tree, going all the way back to the late 1700s, early 1800s, when the Millers came into Kentucky from Virginia and North Carolina. The Millers, the Cazese. Anyway, here's the point of this. I've been giving him lessons on his family tree and how the wonderful things that his white ancestors did in Virginia, North Carolina, and Kentucky, and Tennessee. My grandmother, Tennessee Kazee, she was a German from Tennessee. Because even though he went to a so-called Christian school, they got all this anti-white crap and all this love thy Jew. You're supposed to love thy Negro more than you love your own wife. Love the Negro more than you do your own kids. And love the Jew more than you love your Negro. I know I might be exaggerating, but not a hell of a lot. I've been teaching him just how wonderful the white race is. I had to teach him the difference between a representative republic and a stinking democracy, the difference between fiat currency and real currency, on and on and on. But the point I told him, all this family tree is great. We're not going to get through it because there's hundreds of people in this book. The point I tried to make, and I'm trying to make to the point on the radio, be proud of being white, the greatest race that God ever made. There's nothing you can think of that's good that's been developed that wasn't first developed by some white man, some white Gentile man. And Monica, something you said reminded me to say that. I hope it wasn't too much rabbit trail, but you people, you need to tell your family about your family tree. You need to teach your children where they came from, because they're constantly being bombarded about how evil the white race are. And look who the evil people are, these damn animals we've been talking about this whole show, just beyond despicable animals. Anyway, back to you, Ren.
I agree with you, Eddie. He said he'd only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his special people. And that's the ones that crossed over the Caucasus Mountains, those lost tribes that crossed over the Caucasus Mountains and settled parts of Europe and later the Americas. That the white people are his people. That's not to say that others can't be saved. What the Bible refers to as the kings and the queens of the ethnos, they can certainly be saved if they come to him. But it's no doubt that he has a chosen people, and it is those the descendants of those that crossed over those Caucasus Mountains. That's where the word Caucasian come from. And like I said, settled parts of Europe and then later crossed over the ocean into the Americas and settled. Those are the descendants. Not the ones that claim to be of Judea and are not. Those are the evil ones. Those are the wicked ones. That's the ones that Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 speak of. Those are the bad things, the wicked ones. But anyway, like you say, I don't mean to go off on a rabbit trail, but you prompted it, not me.
Well, I had to because, you know, one more slight rabbit trail. I've talked to Jay and Cameron during the breaks, and I tell them I have spent 40 hours on a show before when we did the first time we did the USS Liberty several years ago. And, to toot my own horn, Dave Gaharry said I knew more about the Liberty than he did, because I probably studied 60 or 80 hours on it for over a period of 2 weeks. But you people, our people do need to know where we came from. We are God's people. Rand, you're absolutely right. I believe in my heart that anyone wants to come to Jesus, if he will admit, if he will, in his heart, and confess with his lips that Jesus is the Son of God, he shall be saved. That's scripture, the scripture. But if you look around and you look at all the races of the world, I don't see any of them that can come up to the white race. I mean, we excel them in every way there is in the arts, in the science, in medicine, in engineering, in farming. Anything you want to name, we're altruistic. That our weak point is we are altruistic. We're pathologically altruistic to our own good. Now, I'm getting off that rabbit trail. I got us off. We want to finish up on this. Hugh Christopher and Chan and Christian Rand, go ahead. And Monica, I know you chip in anytime you want.
One more thing I'd like to add. If any of the listeners out there want to do a study, a Bible study on what you and I are just talking about, do a study on election. Let's do it. Election. See where it goes with election. But anyway, back to the story.
You mean the election, like going into like the Strong's Concordance or what?
Yeah, like election mentioned in the Bible. The election. Mentioned all throughout the Bible.
Oh,
the
I got
elect.
You.
There is,
oh, I got you.
There is an elect. And I would just challenge people to do their own Bible study on the elect and come to their own conclusions. But,
I got you.
But anyway.
Uh-oh, there goes. We just burned up one whole segment. We'll finish up when we come back, and we'll try to cover this other stuff we need to talk about. People, hang on to your sights. This is our first show of the year, and it's kind of like Rabbit Trail City. But I hope we're getting some good information out there to you. And we want to talk about solutions when we come back. If we forget solutions, you people write in and tell me. Solutions, solutions, solutions. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Oh, people, welcome back. We're going back into the second segment of the second hour, and I'm going to try my best to keep from reminiscing and getting off the topic. So we're going to go right back to Rand, and he's going to go and continue on with what he studied with for several days. Go ahead, Rand. I'm sorry I got you so far off track.
Yeah, we'll continue on, and I'll try to rush this up as much as I can. But at this point in the story that we're talking about, I had mentioned about Shannon and Christopher's friends. They had certainly had missed them from not showing up to the party, but the parents had not got alarmed at this point and didn't get alarmed until Shannon's work. She worked at a shoe store. Shannon's work called her mother, and that was the first alarm for her mother, because that was certainly out of character for her. Of course, they reported it to the police, but unfortunately, their response was, "These are young adults. It isn't really anything that we can do right now." So these parents who love their children so much, they started out to do their own search. And they were pretty smart about it, because they contacted the phone company for Shannon's phone, and they was able to find out that her last call, where it came from, and it was from this neighborhood in where Chipman Street is. So the police still not involved. These parents go to this area and more or less start a street-by-street, block-by-block search for something that would help them find their children. One thing, it's obvious that this phone call shouldn't have came from this area. That's very obvious to them. So the alarm system, as time goes on, it increases more and more. So finally, on the 8th, early hours of the 8th of January, they find Shanna's SUV. And it's two blocks. It's only two blocks. It's parked two blocks from Davison's house. And, of course, at this point, they contact the police. They come out. It's obvious that Shannon hasn't been driving the car. The seats, the front, the driver's seat, the passenger seat in the front are both all the way back. The rest are left.
Sorry
back,
to have to interrupt. Rand, we have a guest called in and wants to say something to us. I didn't want to interrupt you, but we don't want everyone to leave our guest hanging too long. But so,
no, go ahead.
Hey, Jim, I heard we got a guy named Jim from Missouri. What you doing, fella?
Well, Eddie, I just wanted to call in and acknowledge your very kind card that you sent me. I got it, and I'm not much of a card sender, but you know there's certain other things I'll send. Since I've been listening to the show tonight, I started in at the end of the last hour. I agree with everything I've heard, particularly what Monica said, that we are allowed to feel the emotion of hate, and it is useful when correctly applied. It at times kept me alive when nothing else would. So, and I'm not all about hate. I'm all about the love of liberty. I'm all about the love of whatever will promote individual liberty and safety to enjoy liberty. And Eddie, there are so many things that in my background would make me turn tail and run away from you as fast as I can. But the truth is, you the man.
Well,
okay.
Thank you for saying that.
You'll stand up on your hind feet and fight to the death. I know you will, just from listening to you. And I only hope that I can be there when it's time, because that's where it's headed. I'm sorry to have to say it, but we painted ourselves into a corner, and there's only one way out. Through the wall, and it's going to be tough.
True.
So I want to wish everybody a happy new year. I want to wish you in particular that you must have had a Merry Christmas. I know you did.
Yes, sir.
And it's always darkest before the dawn. Every travail that I've been presented with, I've always persevered and come out better on the other side.
That's well, I tell you what,
perseverance.
You've always been a big supporter of our show, and I consider you a good friend, and I really appreciate everything you said. I was talking to a fellow today. I just told him that, you know, I'm just a regular old guy that started this show. I felt like it was a calling. I could have done other things, but I just pray that I won't let our people down when the balloon goes up, so to speak. That's one of the reasons I do my running, many reasons. I want to be where the revolution starts. I hope I'm able to participate. You're right. There's going to be no peaceful way out of this. But thank you so much, Jim. I wouldn't take $1 million for your call tonight. I certainly appreciate that, my brother. And please call in again soon, if you will. I value these phone calls. I wouldn't take anything for them.
All the best.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure that Rand and Monica feel the same way. They're just as rock solid as me or anybody else. And so as you are, Jim. And thank you so much, brother. And by the way, just like Rand always says, like I've said before, God hated Esau in the womb. John loved Jacob, and he hated Esau. But thank you so very, very much, Jim, for calling in. I appreciate that, brother.
So long.
Yes, sir. That's a great call, guys, Monica and Rand. That was a great call. Rand, I'll tell you what, I guess we'll wrap this up on because we got so much other stuff to cover. I hope I didn't cut you off too much. But wasn't that a wonderful call we got? Oh, Gene. We got Gene on the air, too. Before we go to a break, maybe Gene's go ahead and put Gene up. Hey, Gene, okay. How you doing, fella?
Eddie, how are you doing? Yeah. I just wanted to add one comment on this brutal slaughterhouse in Knoxville, what happened up there. It really hit home to me. My daughter was a senior at UT when this happened, and my son was a freshman up there.
God, I didn't know that, Gene.
And my daughter had moved off campus. She had an apartment with some other girls across the river. But my son was in the freshman dorm, and he had to go right past that area. He was playing for the UT Ice Balls Hockey Club, and he had to go right past that area to go to the rink to practice. And, of course, they didn't get ice time until late at night after public skating was over. So he was going through that area down there, late in the evening, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and they didn't even start till 10:30 or 11 to practice, and then coming back around midnight or shortly thereafter. So, yeah, this thing with Shannon Christensen and Christopher Newsom really hit home. And they said it was on the news only a couple of days up there, and then it was gone. And they never had anything on the national news about it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Gene, we tried to do a show on this last year. I tried to get I don't remember her name, the newspaper reporter that really covered this crime intensively for the Knoxville newspaper. Not only would they not talk to me about it, they wouldn't return my phone calls. They wouldn't let me speak to anybody about it. They saw nothing, heard nothing, said nothing.
They covered it up big time. And we were up there for one of Scott's hockey games when the trial was going on, and they were covering that up. So, you know, they didn't even want anything to get out about the trial, and I saw a policeman there at the rink and asked him about that, and he said, oh, yeah, they had a verdict today. They were all found guilty, and they haven't started the sentencing part of the trial yet. But that was just a policeman, and there was nothing on the news up there about it.
You know, I was thinking about you when we started talking about this plan, because I know you live closer to Nashville. I had no idea that your children were going to school there. You must have been really, just really destroyed nearly, Gene.
Well, no, because I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, and like I said, my daughter said, yeah, it was on the local news there just a couple of days, and then the story disappeared.
Hang on, Gene. We got to go to a quick break. I don't know if you hear the music. Hang on, Gene. Don't go away. We'll be right back, people. We got Gene Andrews going to let us know about something personal happened to him up there in Knoxville. Be right back.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Many Americans are spending New Year's Day stranded at airports as bad weather and coronavirus outbreaks cause thousands of flight cancellations. It's been a tough holiday week for airlines and travelers, with crew members calling out sick. FlightAware showing over 4,200 flights have been canceled worldwide on the 1st of January. That includes over 2,400 United States flights. One traveler at LaGuardia in Queens, New York, tells Fox News,
"Had a great time with your family. You know, you're not here for very long, so it's a good time always. And then you come here and have to deal with a whole bunch of stress. That's not fun."
Federal help is on the way for thousands affected by Colorado's wildfires. The White House saying President Biden approved a disaster declaration on Saturday, which includes funding for temporary housing and emergency loans. USA Radio News.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 or more per month with MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. You get access to a massive network of providers and 24/7 telehealth. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years, and it's more than just affordable healthcare, too. You get to be part of a community of Christians who pray for each other and support each other. But here's why now is the time to make the switch. Join before January 15th, and they'll waive your new member fee. You'll save another $170 right off the bat. Call now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th, so you can save even more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Eric Adams has been sworn in as 110th mayor of New York City early Saturday morning in Times Square. Adams discussing his plans for the city.
"This would be our New Year's resolution. We will not be controlled by crisis. Instead, we'll make the city better every day through actions big and small. Getting vaccinated is not letting the crisis control you."
Adams adding, "It's time for New York to return to its past glory."
"New York can and should be the center of the universe again. Bustling, thriving, electric with the energy of people."
Both the Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots continue to grow. Lottery officials say there were no tickets sold with all six numbers in last night's Mega Millions drawing. That means Tuesday's jackpot is worth over $244 million. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is worth $500 million. USA Radio News.
Dear Blood River Radio fan, we are going to our third segment. We have one more segment after this one, and our surprise Gene called in and put some news, heavy duty news on us. We didn't know he was very close to this Hugh Christopher Newsom Jr., age 23, and Shannon Gail Christian, age 21, to their brutal, horrific torture. He just called in and he regaled us. Well, not regale, but he told us about how close to home it hit with him and his children. Go ahead, Gene. Finish telling the audience about that.
University of Tennessee at Knoxville that year, and then my son was a freshman, and he was playing for the University of Tennessee Iceballs hockey team. And Monica, I'm sure she could have been an assistant coach or head coach of that team. Canadians are great hockey players. But anyway, they were there, and like I said before the break, luckily my daughter was living off campus in an apartment over on the other side of the river in Knoxville, but my son was having to go right through that area every night that they had hockey practice downtown at the arena, and so he was, you know, they wouldn't give the hockey team a decent hour to practice. They had to wait till public skating was over, so they didn't even get on the ice till 10:30 or 11. That meant when they got through, they were coming back 12:30 or 1 o'clock. Through that part of town to go back to the campus. So, but like I said, I didn't know anything had happened. The news media had a blackout on it. And that's the thing to me that was so infuriating. It was horrible what they did. I mean, they were butchered like hogs or even worse. You know, when you kill livestock for meat processing. You just shoot them or have that axe thing that hits them in the head and it's over with. But when you torture people and rape both a female and a male and do what they did, that's just inexcusable. I mean, that's, to me, that's a cause for a public hanging right there on the town square. But the media is even worse in how they deliberately covered that up. And my daughter said, yes, we heard about it when all of this broke out eventually. And I asked my daughter and said, what in the world happened there? And she said, well, we heard about it on the news for a couple of days, and then that was it. There was a media blackout after that. And I don't know if they got the word from their parent, NBC, CBS, or whatever station in headquarters in New York to just black it out, but they certainly did, and nothing else was heard about it. And it was never, I never heard or saw anything about it on the national news, which is so hypocritical, but so perverse and sick by the media. We saw months and months and months of coverage of this George Floyd criminal that had to get out of town in Houston and hide out in Minneapolis and then died of a drug overdose. And we heard constant coverage of that. And this Breonna Taylor in Louisville that was in a shootout in a drug house and hanging out with these drug dealers. And she got caught in a crossfire in that. They were firing at the police, and the police were firing back. So they made that out as, you know, the end of the world story. But these two young white people that get literally butchered and tortured, covered up, nothing from the media. And that's why the media just disgusts me. They really are, in the way they cover the so-called, the way they propagandize the news. They don't cover the news. They feed us propaganda. So that was a story that has just infuriated me for years and years after that happened.
I know you had to get just icy cold when you found out about that, Gene. You know, me and Monica, I was asking Monica, and you know, me and Monica, we talked about earlier in the last show, the last hour, and who controls the news. And Monica, I think, and you'll agree, this shows, we know who controls the news. We know how they try to suppress this. That shows, if anything in this world shows the hatred, the disdain, the venomous, just pure hatred that these Jews have for us Gentiles, the fact that they would cover that up, and then the opposite, and on the opposite hand, like Gene said, go on and on and on about this George Floyd, does that show how much they hate white Gentile people, Monica?
Well, they make it perfectly clear that their intention is to kill us. End of story. This is one of their weapons, their tools, the media. It is one of their main, I don't know, some people call it a fifth column, like it's a war weapon. They shape the minds by shaping the narrative. That's all it is. Everything that you get on the news, the mainstream media, the intention is to shape how we perceive our world around us. It really is creating illusions. You know, this blue pill, red pill meme that is from that movie, The Matrix. There's two realities. There's the one that is the one that most people think is reality. And then there's the red pill, you know, when people wake up and realize that we're being lied to. So that is their big weapon against us, because it's all about psychological warfare to soften up our minds and shape our world. And then, as it says in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, it says the goy, or they will become agents of their own destruction. And they're talking about the Gentiles or the goyim or whatever, you know, they will become agents of their own destruction, because many people who are still in the world of illusions, they go along with it. Like, who do you see at these Black Lives Matter demonstrations? It's mostly young white women, actually, quite often. So these are the Gentiles, the goyim, who become agents of our own destruction, you know, participating in basically suicidal behavior due to false picture of the world. you could call it mental illness, but how does the mental illness come about? It's through the toxins of the lies that they tell us in the media. And so now I went on a bit of a rant. I'll pass it back.
Mental illness. It absolutely is mental illness. And I may be repeating myself, Gene, but we talked about earlier, I think in the last show, where, you know, Rich sent me this news clip where the people, these trendy progressives in the Cooper Young area of Midtown, where I run a lot, they're just absolutely peeing in their pants because somebody came down that part of the town and defaced their Black Lives Matter signs and put up signs that said it's okay to be white. And they were just having conniption fits. They're just the most despicable thing they've ever seen in their life. Don't bother them. Don't get in the way with this here Christopher Newsom and Shannon Christian stuff. They don't care about them. They're nothing but useless white people. It is mental illness. Rand, I do truly believe that it is mental illness. I think I said something about you a couple of weeks ago. So, do you have anything to say about that, Rand?
Well, one thing I want to say is that I agree with Jim, who called in earlier. It is a very exciting time to be alive. I think that sooner or later that everything is going to come to a head, most likely the return of our Lord.
You know, and until that time, we have to stay here in battle, man. You know, but I'd just like to reiterate, I couldn't imagine how you felt, Gene, when you found out how close to home that was to your dear children. Go ahead, Gene.
That is true. It was scary. It was frightening. But the thing is, it's all around us. I do not go into downtown Nashville at night. We live out in the suburbs, and there's no way I'd go down. I don't even go down there. Used to go one or two times a year to go to a Predators game, and I won't go down there for that because they've got all these metal detectors and police all over the entrance, and they search the purses, and they search this, and you can't bring a big container in and all this stuff like that. Well, that's all well and good, but how are you going to get from the arena back over to the parking lot if you aren't armed? You know, they're supposed to have police down there on Lower Broadway because that's where all the honky-tonks are. But when you get one or two blocks off of Broadway and you're trying to get to a parking lot after a game and it's 11 o'clock, midnight, something like that, there's nobody out there to protect you. And you could wind up like these two young people did in Knoxville. And so the best thing to do is just not go down there. You're taking your life in your hands if you do. We were talking about, this finally turning around and maybe something happening that's going to be the spark that'll get it turned around. Eddie, to be honest with you, I don't know if we have anybody in leadership out there that can do that. I mean, we talk about it, but we don't hold a political office. We don't have a large standing army or anything. And I believe it kind of goes back to what Thomas Paine said when he wrote the crisis papers back during the Revolution, that these are the times that try men's souls. In this crisis, the summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will soon fade from the scene. And I think the summer soldiers and the sunshine patriots have already faded from the scene, and I don't know who we have that's going to stand up to it. Trump tried to.
Okay, you know, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys of the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
The Ennis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Oh, dear Blood River family, we bleed, rhetorically speaking, for you. We really would. You know, we do this show for you. Miss Monica said something, and bless her sweet, precious heart. She's my sister. I know she is. I would die for that lady anytime. But she said something, you know, we always have these things. We got to cover this. We got to cover that. We got to cover the Trump vax. We got to cover the Ghislaine Maxwell. She said, no, it's a good thing that we're dedicated this whole 2 hours to this show, because you know what? We couldn't dedicate 2 hours. Two years wouldn't be enough time to dedicate to these two precious white children. They were right. Rand is right. They were children slaughtered, just like Gene said, slaughtered even worse, in a more miserable way than cattle. So I'm glad. I'm like Monica. We're so glad that we spent the whole 2 hours. Hell, we might spend some time next week. But these stupid, white, self-hating cucks, they're worse than that. You know what? They're Stockholm cucks. They're cuck conservatives. They have this Stockholm syndrome that they identify with any other race but themselves. And I'm going to say this one last thing. It reminds me of a bitch dog, a female dog that has a litter of puppies, and she bites her own puppies in the throats, and she starts nursing a litter of rat pups. That's what these stinking, self-hating, conservative white people are. And God help me saying this, if it has to happen again, and it will, there will be another Channing Christian. There will be another Christopher Newsom. I hope it happens to one of these damn Jews that covers up the story. I hope if it has to happen, God forbid, and it will, I hope it's not one of our precious Gentile children that lived up there close to where Gene, my brother's children, were going to school. Praise God. Please, God, not let it be one of them. Let it be one of these damn cucks, one of these Jew media giants. Let it happen to them. Maybe that's what it's going to take to turn these stinking, self-hating people and these Christian-hating people around. Go ahead, Gene. I'm sorry. We lost you for a minute, but go ahead, Gene.
No, that's fine. We're back on. So, it's sickening, like I said, that we don't have the leadership to stand up to this. And the politicians are such craven cowards. The news media is on the enemy's side. These corporations shake and quiver and fall down in the dirt if any of these minorities or the chosen people say that they're upset with what they're doing. And the news media, and I mean the big corporations, cave into them. So really, we have no representation to defend us other than what kind of sidearms you carry under the front seat of your car or your truck. That's about all we have to defend ourselves with. And, it really is a depressing situation. You look at, say, well, who is going to step up? And, yeah, we can have demonstrations and small things going on, but where is the national pushback against all of this? Well, there is no national pushback. If you try to have a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, the dadgum police and the highway patrol jump in on the side of the Antifas and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks. The so-called law enforcement does nothing to defend the law. They've sold out to the crooked politicians and the chosen people, so to speak. So if the law won't help you, then what are you going to do? I know in that book that Stanley Horne wrote about the real history of the Ku Klux Klan, the Invisible Empire, in the preface, he was talking about the condition in the South during Reconstruction and why vigilante groups like the Klan or the Red Shirts in South Carolina, the Knights of the White Chameleon, Texas and Louisiana, why they were necessary. And he said, bad government makes for bad citizens. So there is the answer right there to what went on back then. Now, I don't know if we have enough people that had the backbone today to start local vigilante groups to protect ourselves.
You make some great points, Gene. Yeah, I think I said it on the air once before. It's so bad in Memphis. I'll say it again, even if I'm repeating myself. We talk about solutions. The solutions is, people, if you don't have a sidearm, like Gene said, get you a sidearm. Learn to be proficient with it. You don't have to be like, you know, Doc Holliday, but get where you are good with it, where you can defend yourself, defend your wife, defend your kids. When it's so bad in Memphis, I'll say it again, when we go get gas, I go along with my wife, and she's got, with the pumps the gas. I have a 3.5-inch Magnum 12-gauge shotgun stoked up with triple double-aught buckshot and a 45 automatic. It's that damn bad in Memphis. You have to. That's one of the solutions I have. And Gene, you're absolutely right. And I'm sure Rand, being in the League of the South, will agree. You're the League of the South. I'm the League of the South. And Monica is honorary League of the South. You know, there is no solution. There is no reforming this Sodom of the Potomac, this Washington, D.C. government, just like Dr. Hill says. There is no reform. The only solution is to, like we're saying, arm yourselves, reconstitute the Klan, reconstitute the militia, arm yourselves. And like you, Gene, and like you, Rand, do you think there's enough people left to do it? Like Gene brought a real question, an alarming question. You know, are there enough men out there to stand up on their hind legs and do it, Gene? I mean, excuse me, Rand.
We just got to hope and pray that there is, and I certainly agree with Gene. And it's just not Nashville, it's just not Memphis, it's just name a city. All the white folks, all the more or less good folks, have fled the cities. It's with white flight. They went out to the suburbs. They have left the cities to the discretions of. Well, we all know what's running them now. I mean, and that's where we at. So I just wanted to say that it's Montgomery, Alabama. It's Mobile, Alabama. It's Birmingham, Alabama. It's any big name, any big city that you want to name.
It's Atlanta. It's New Orleans. It's, yeah, keep going down the list. It's a long list. Yeah.
Absolutely, Gene. And I agree with you, Eddie. We're not going to be able to talk our way out of this. We're not going to be able to resolve with these people. We're going to have to, and we deserve, as Dr. Hill has said, we deserve a place among the nations. We deserve a name and a place among the nations. And we should have that. And we're being pushed out. It's like, again, as I've heard Dr. Hill say, it's like our forefathers carved out this big table, coming over and carving out a civilization. And now it's like, and this really pisses me off, we have to beg for a place to our own table. Think about it.
Yes, we do. And it's about, you know what, and what's so horrifying about it, it might even be worse in Canada. What do you think, Miss Monica? Do you think it's worse for up there in Canada where you are than it is here, what we've just been talking about?
It's very, very communist. There's no question. And it depends what part of the states we're comparing to, because some of the things that are happening down there, like just today's story, I mean, that's just beyond anything that I have ever heard about happening before. It's just so horrible. But anyway, I just wanted to say one comment. The speed with which our enemy is pushing their agenda right now, there's no question everybody will agree with me that it's accelerating, right? Like the pace, it's accelerating.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
The genocidal agenda. Well, this actually is working against them, because it's like that, you know, the proverbial frog gets tossed into the boiling pot. Well, people really are noticing, they're waking up. And I wanted to just point out that this mental illness that many of our people have succumbed to, it's not a genetic thing. It's this mental illness brought about by the contamination from the lies. That's what it is. It's this media, the media lies that shaping our reality as something completely false, upside down world. And so it's not a genetic mental illness, and people are waking up fast. And I just have to take hope from that. And, you know, it is a new year. Today is New Year's Day. I really do see that there are going to be good things happening. I know there's going to be a lot of turmoil, and there's, you know, there will be, there will be many losses. I know that. But I think there are good things happening. It's going to be an interesting year. Yeah, I'll pass it back.
Hey, cool. In closing, Eddie, I would just like to say, in the end, after all that we talked about tonight about Christopher Newsom and Shannon Christian, and I think we ought to point out Christ is in both of those names. Now, you take that for whatever it is.
That's what I said.
Both of them had Christ in their names.
How coincidental is that?
Yes.
I was telling my wife about that.
And what I wanted to make a point of before we close tonight is that all of these six monsters are still breathing air. And Shannon and Christopher are not.
That's true, and I know I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 times more. This happens every stinking day in South Africa. These type of atrocities happen every day. And now people like Dr. Hill, the League of the South, we've been saying for years, it's those chickens have come home to roost. It's happening every day here now in this United States. They're tearing down the statues. They came for the linen. They came for the stone. Now they're after your lily white flesh. Are you going to let them people take your children and your grandchildren? People are about out of time. Rand, would you like to close us out in a short, quick prayer? Before you do that, I'm going to thank Miss Monica and Jean for coming on. I'll be getting contact with each one of y'all after the show. If you will, take us out in a prayer, if you don't mind, Rand.
Sure. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come to on the air tonight and to share these things, Lord. I just pray that the way that we conducted ourselves was pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all of our blessings. We thank you for who we are. We thank you for where we come from. And Lord, that we just pray that you would help us be better, help us conduct our lives in a way that would be worthy of you, that would be pleasing to you, that would make you smile, Lord. We just pray in these times, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and courage, Lord, to do the right things and do them in a way that would be pleasing to you. And these things we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rand and Jean and Monica. I swear to God, I love you people. Y'all come on, you make this show. We are all fighting. We're fighting together. We're trying to get this word out there to the people. We're trying to do the best we can to get solutions out there. As right now, as Rand and Jean brought it up, he doesn't know. Monica's more hopeful. But do what you can. If nothing else, arm yourself. Get a good firearm that you're handy with. Learn how to use it. Get one that uses common ammunition that's not too hard to get a hold of. And pray. People, we've come to the end of another show. I'd like to once again thank Miss Monica, thank Jean, thank Rand for coming on, thank Jay and Mr. Cameron for running the board. Thank you, dear audience, for sending in all the nice letters and cards and donations. We could not stay on the air without that. God bless you people. Pray for Blood River Radio. Pray for all the people on Blood River, all of our guests, all of our hosts, our crew, Liberty News, Sam and all them, and Jay. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. I think Patrick Ryan's supposed to be on for a half hour or so. So good night, everybody.